Well, it's that time of the year in February. Usually the Richmond Ballet and the Richmond Symphony coordinate for a performance. And this year it's Tchaikovsky's The Sleeping Beauty. I am joined by conductor Aaron Freeman and artistic associate Malcolm Byrne from the Richmond Ballet. Thank you both for joining me here today.
It's great to be here as always.
Good to be here.
This is a rather unique presentation of a very famous ballet. Malcolm, we were talking about this before we went on the air, that pretty much everybody knows the story of The Sleeping Beauty. But what makes your production a little bit different?
Well, everything that you would want to see in the ballet, for those that know the ballet, will be there. I tend to introduce the first scene a little differently, that no human actually sees the fairies. The fairies come themselves. And they bless the child themselves, and they discuss the child, and then, of course, the evil one arrives and places the curse on the child, and then it's all of that. But that the human beings do not see that. The cat does, but human beings don't. That's just a feeling that I have of a lot of things, that we don't see what is not in front of us until something really hugely important happens. And then we might be a little bit more open to something that's not normally there.
And this is being promoted as a ballet that is appropriate for even the youngest of patrons. It's an abbreviated score. How does this make things a little bit different for you, Aaron?
Well, I think the score is, Malcolm has taken the full ballet, which runs, I don't know,
three hours
and usually has a couple of intermissions in it, and has really worked hard to make it a concise version of the story. So there is a lot of dancing. I watched in preparation for rehearsals and for next week, I watched a lot of different versions of the ballet. And I watched a lot of the longest versions of the ballet. And there is more standing around in some of those ballets. And this one, it is just packed with incredible dancing. The men are constantly moving. The women, I mean, don't get me started about how strong and elegant and graceful these women are throughout the whole entire thing. And so there's never a down moment in your version of this, which is something I really appreciate.
Hopefully not. Yeah. We try to keep the attention going and the story progressing. I think children today, children generally, their attention span can be lost very quickly. So one wants to keep it there, following the story and getting them to identify with the characters very clearly.
And, you know, I think the music really helps that, because the score is so colorful. Tchaikovsky has a way with instruments, and particularly with winds. You know, here I am talking to Mike Goldberg. And
why,
you know,
might
I have
you
to
say that?
Well, because you're a great clarinetist. But we chose these to bring today some of the music that goes along with the fairies, because each fairy has its own personality and the music has its own personality to match.
Well, and each brings their own gift. And of course, the thing is that the gifts, like honesty, beauty, a beautiful singing voice. Interesting enough, one of them once was mischief, but we like to say that's having a strong willpower and courage to do whatever that it is. And of course, the lilac fairy with wisdom. So they're all bringing different gifts for the child. And so the music depicts the fairy, the gift. Tchaikovsky was delighted to do this score. This is the thing that shows so well with the music. He was absolutely thrilled to get the concept. He loved the concept. He did it very quickly. And he said afterwards, he said something about, I really wish, he said, I know he did it quickly, but I don't think it sounds like I did it quickly. You know, and he was delighted with the score personally. Really happy with what he did.
It's stunning. It's been really fun to dive into and get to know the characters through the music. So the first excerpt is The Enchanted
Garden. The Enchanted Garden.
The Enchanted Garden. Every version has different names for these fairies. So can you set it up?
Well, it's basically, in English we call it The Fairy of the Enchanted Garden. In French it's Coulante, Fleur de Farine. Which is, it's actually beauty. It's a flower. Fleurine is flower. And so it is it's as though the white powder you put on your face, you know, in those days, mm-hmm. that ladies used, and it's to bring beauty.
And you'll hear incredible woodwind playing in it. ¶¶ The next excerpt is another fairy excerpt, and it's, you call it the Woodland Glades?
That's right. Fidemiet.
And why do you call it that?
It's actually for her personality to be very sweet. It's actually the gift that she brings. And it sounds like that. It's a steady rhythm. It's very smooth and very quiet. And the lady actually dances the whole thing almost completely without coming off point.
And you can hear the point in the pizzicato in the strings. It's really beautiful, and it starts really quietly. I love that on top of all that pizzicato, Tchaikovsky presents one of his beautiful melodies. You know, he can never get by without adding a stunning melody.
Well, we as dancers know that all the melodies in the world stem from Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you live off of Tchaikovsky, right. Literally.
Absolutely, but the music is always magnificent, always beautiful, always powerful, always relevant. And that is, as before him, it used to be that the music was just to do steps to, very often not relevant to the action. This was one of the great fortes of Tchaikovsky doing this. And the next one we get to is funnily enough, the Songbird. And this is, of course, the gift of voice to the child.
The songbird, of course, represented by flute and piccolo and little bells.
And a very difficult solo for the girl.
Yes, incredibly difficult. So the next one we have, in my score, it's called Violante. So how do you interpret this next movement, Malcolm?
Well, it's interesting because in one of the old resources I looked up, this was the gift of mischief, which I thought was rather lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually say it's mischief, but it really is having a strong willpower, the strength and courage to do what is right.
I love this. You can hear the strength in these big chords. Chom chom, ba-da-dun, ja-da-dun. I love all these fairies with their incredibly positive gifts of personal characteristics. What a wonderful sentiment.
Well, yes, but no story would actually be complete unless there was an opposite coming.
Uh-oh. So what might that opposite fairy be?
Well, we have a wicked fairy called Carabas. Carabas comes and is not happy that the other ladies did not invite her. The other fairies did not invite her at all. And they didn't invite her because probably she's not very nice. And so she comes and she puts a curse on the child.
And yeah, go ahead.
No, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, and her music, I love it because it has that sinister sound to it, but it still has a little bit of the lightness and beauty of the fairy music. So you'll hear incredibly light, wispy wind playing on top of all of this fire and fury.
So anyway, we have the Wicked Fairy, and obviously there has to be, because this is for families and because the story is such a wonderful story, good does win out. And of course, the Lilac Fairy, who represents wisdom, has not given her blessing, so will save the day, which is why she goes to sleep for 100 years, only to be wakened by a handsome prince with a kiss.
But I will say that the Lilac Fairy is the one who organizes that kiss. It is not the prince who saves the princess. It is the fairy who saves the princess.
This
woman
true.
Power.
Anyway, so we've talked about the fairies, but the rest of the story, of course, is about the princess, right, when she's 16 and she has a birthday party. And one of the joys of this production is the use of a lot of children in it. We have some beautiful children that are dancing with the company. We have at one point over 60 people on stage because of the size of the scope of the ballet.
And in those beautiful, lush costumes and set by the Royal Winnipeg Ballet.
Well, that's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah.
There's sets and costumes and beautiful dancing. But in the end of the day, I would just say that the story is told, I believe, by the end. And everybody is understanding, I hope, of everything that goes on.
I'll say about all of these excerpts we've already played is I think they're not the most familiar excerpts from the ballet. But I think we have queued up the most famous one. And of course, it was made famous because Disney was wise when they made their Sleeping Beauty animated film to use the music of Tchaikovsky. And so here, of course, is the Garland Waltz, which does feature all of those cast members and has one of the most beautiful melodies that Tchaikovsky ever wrote.
And I should mention, performances are next Friday, February 9th at 7 p.m., Saturday, February 10th, 2 and 7, and Sunday afternoon, February 11th at 2 p.m. We're going to play out with the waltz here. Aaron and Malcolm, thank you so much for stopping by today.
Thank you.
Have
a great show.
Thank you.
Show.
Thank you.